The Christmas season is always a time of year filled with so much joy and hope, spirit of giving, celebrations with family and friends. Yet that might be the very reason why there are also those that are suffering deep heartache, loss, illness, or struggle during the season. They may feel the weight of their burdens even more deeply in seasons like this. And maybe you understand that. Maybe you feel alone or forgotten. Maybe some wonder to themselves why God isn't answering their prayers or why his answers seem to be so long in coming. Or maybe it's that the devil is working twice as hard at Christmas time to keep us distracted from what's really going on. Every December, my wife starts to play Christmas music. I mean, all the time, everywhere. My, all the channels on my car radio station are preset for, suddenly they jump from sports radio and news radio to Christmas songs. Christmas songs in the car, in the house, Alexa's playing Christmas music everywhere on her computer. Then I get free from it. I go to the store and there's Christmas music in the store or Christmas music in the coffee shops. And it's everywhere you go. You just can't get rid of it. But there is one Christmas song in the Bible that, one of the most important Christmas songs that virtually no one ever sings. In fact, I don't even know the tune to the original song. The song is found in Psalm 107. The Psalms are a collection of songs and poems and poetic writings. And I'd encourage you when you get home today to read all of Psalm chapter 107 and read the lyrics to the whole song yourself. In ancient times, there was a Jewish king named David with a love for music and songwriting and poems, and he wrote a prophetic song of gratitude for the goodness of God. In the lyrics of the song, he tells a story of how God has rescued them and assisted them and healed them. But as you read the song, you realize that David isn't simply rehearsing a story from the past, but it's like he's simultaneously rehearsing something from the past and announcing something that will happen in the future. And we're going to jump into the text a little bit here, Psalm 107, verse 6. And David uses this idea of something that the people say and then something that God does. And it goes back and forth like that. "Lord, help," they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Tell your neighbor, he fills the hungry. He's definitely telling a story here about the Exodus. Some of you may be familiar with the book of Exodus and the wilderness. He's telling a story about God's provision in Exodus. But keep listening. There's more. "Lord, help," they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains, for he broke down their prison gates of bronze. He cut apart their bars of iron. Oh, that's cool. So here we have David celebrating the acts of God in setting captives free and breaking chains. Anybody like it when God breaks chains? Yeah. "Lord, help," they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. So here God is calming the sea. David is writing the song. He's looking back, but he's also looking forward, with a prophetic connection that we really very much need to pay attention to. The idea is this: what God has done before, God will do again. What God has done before, God will do again. So get ready, because God did it before and he will do it again. Not just that he might, but that he will. And so when I say get ready for the God who will create a straight path for you to walk on. The God who will feed the hungry, the God who will give drink to the thirsty, the God who will set you free from your captivity, the God who breaks the chains and bondages of those in darkness, the God who calms the stormy seas. Come on, somebody. That's an important thing. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give you a Christmas present this morning that you can open up every day of the year. So let me tell you, when I read this, I can't help but think it was like somebody was recording the life of Jesus before Jesus was ever born. It was 1,000 years before. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to zoom in. So let me focus the lens a little tighter today on this one part. Let's zoom in and take a look to see if there was something we didn't notice the first time around. It's like a picture on Instagram that catches your attention. You tap it, and then you zoom in just to be nosy, to see if there's something else in the picture that isn't obvious at first. Here it is. "Lord, help," they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them. Tell your neighbor, he healed them. When the people were sick and in trouble, zoom in, he would send his word. Zoom in further. What was the result of sending his word? The word would heal them. Zoom in further. Several times in the Old Testament, you see this connection about the word. Somebody say the word. About the word being sent out. And perhaps you remember Isaiah, the prophet, the ancient prophet from last week, giving a message from God. Isaiah says today, "It is the same with my word. I send it out. It always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Now zoom in a little further. In all of those places, they speak of the word as if the word, listen carefully, as if the word is a person, as if the word is a messenger, as if the word is an entity. Now zoom in just as far as you can go. And when you do that, what happens is you jump forward several centuries and you will find this connection one more time. And what do you know? The word shows up in a little town called Bethlehem on a day that we now call Christmas. That's why I told you earlier that this is one of the most important Christmas songs that nobody ever sings. Watch this connection. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word." Somebody say the Word. There it is again. Already existed. "The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." And so wait for it now for the big reveal. Verse 14. "So the Word became human. It made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." It turns out that Jesus born in Bethlehem, that Jesus announced by angels, that Jesus the wise men came to honor, he is the word spoken of in Isaiah. He is the word spoken of in Psalm 107. Now, if you know the life of Jesus, and even if you don't know, Jesus, the one who miraculously fed the hungry, who gave drink to the thirsty, Jesus who took demonically tormented people and cast demons out of those people and restored their minds, Jesus who set captives free from their mental and spiritual and emotional and physical torment, Jesus who broke the chains of satanic bondage everywhere he went, Jesus who spoke to the stormy seas and commanded them to be still, the Jesus who creates a straight path for you to walk on, this Jesus was and still remains the Word. Jesus is the Word. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is the Word. What does the Word do? What does the Word do? Wait for it. The Word heals. Jesus heals because Jesus is healer. Jesus heals every disease. Jesus heals every torment. Jesus heals every scourge of Satan. In the scriptures, there was this one desperate father. He approached Jesus to tell Jesus that his son was about to die. And Jesus said to the father, "Go, your son will live." In the exact moment that the word was spoken by Jesus, the son was healed. Jesus, the word, healed the boy's disease. There was another father in scripture that brought his son to Jesus, who the son kept falling into the fire and throwing himself into the water. And his son had been afflicted with a demon and had become sick with seizures. And Jesus cast the demon out of the boy and healed the boy of his seizures. Jesus, the word, healed his disease. There was a town called Nain. And in the town of Nain that Jesus was walking to, Jesus saw a young dead man being carried out in a funeral procession. The young man was the only son of a mourning widow. Jesus looked at the mother and said, "Don't cry." Then he looked at the dead boy and said, "Get up." And the young man was raised back to life and returned to his mother. Jesus, the word, healed the young man from being dead. I remind you of those three stories very specifically. Those are three stories of Jesus healing people at the behalf of parents. The stories of parents looking to Jesus to get help for their kids. Let me talk to the parents today. Parents, don't ever give up taking your kids to Jesus. Whatever it takes, get your kids to Jesus. Whatever it costs you, get your kids to Jesus, because it will always be worth it. There is only one Jesus, and only Jesus can bring true healing and purpose to our lives and to our kids' lives. That was a really excellent point. That was an excellent point. They'll understand that in Revere the best. You understand that in Revere, I know, right now. Okay. Jesus called the children to come to him and told adults not to get in the way of them coming to him. Jesus loved to heal children. Jesus still loves to heal children. Jesus healed the blind men, and Jesus still loves to heal some blind people. Jesus healed the paralyzed man, and Jesus still loves to heal some paralyzed people. Jesus healed the lepers, and Jesus still loves to heal lepers. All the diseases that Jesus encountered, he healed. Simply because Jesus is healer. Jesus was healer then, and Jesus is healer now. That's what the scripture teaches. Jesus became the prophetic song, the fulfillment of the prophetic song of David. In Psalm 107:20, when David sang, "He sent out his word and healed them." I want to speak to you about that today. David wrote that about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. But David never said it would stop. Never said that the word would stop healing. Just that the word would heal. I believe fully that it was Jesus who was healing people in the wilderness of Exodus. That Jesus was healing every illness he encountered when he walked amongst us in person, and that Jesus, the Word, is still the healer today. You see, Jesus is the one who spoke the world into existence, the one who breathed life into humanity, the one who healed your sin-sick soul, and he is still the one who can heal your mind. He can heal your emotions. He can heal your body. He can heal your confusion. That is the true work of Christmas. The work of Christmas is the work of Jesus. There's a pastor and theologian named Howard Thurman once wrote, "When the song of angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart." That is the work of Christmas. And listen, friends, we are not doing this alone. Jesus is doing it. He is with us. As the worship team comes up, we have a place we can go to. We can cry out to God and be assured that God hears us and that He cares. God heals. He did then. He does still. He sent forth His word and healed them. Understand this today. God never desires to see you stay under the scourges of Satan. He rescued them then, and He rescues us today. In Jesus alone, we can find true healing from physical illness and pain, from past wounds and difficult memories, from the heartache of deep loss, from addiction and despair. And even in the relationships that have broken and are in need of healing, Jesus is healer. At Christmas time, the broken state of the world is highlighted. The world has been wounded and is in so much pain. But the truth is, it's not just the world out there. It's also brokenness and pain is present right here in this place today. God already knows the wounds that we've carried. God already knows the pain that we've felt. He knows how much we've tried to let go and fix things in our own power. He already knows. I want to encourage you today. Let's set aside our fears and intentionally move close to Jesus, our healer. Jesus is able. Jesus is powerful. He cares, He heals, He restores, and He redeems. Jesus is the essential cure. He heals the guilt, the habit, the depression, and the evil results of sin. Jesus heals. For every form of illness on this planet, Jesus has a healing simply because Jesus is healer. Do you stand with me today? We're going to take a few moments to pray today. There's no need for us to wait to ask Jesus to heal later. We're going to ask right now. Would you just close your eyes and bow your heads across this room? Just give yourself permission to respond to God today. Take a moment. There's nothing on Instagram that is more important than this right now. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it in your heart. Is there anything in your life today that you need healing of? Do you need healing today? All different kinds of things that you might need healing of? If the answer to that's yes, I'm going to ask you another question. In all seriousness, have you ever asked Jesus to heal you? Have you ever asked Jesus to heal you. So many times when I'm talking to people about this, I realize that people, even those of us who believe, we go through life and we simply forget to ask. Or we don't think about inviting Jesus into the process. Maybe we're afraid, maybe we're concerned, maybe we're confused, maybe we have doubt or don't have faith or all the different things. All of those things are things that Jesus is okay with, by the way. He just wants you to invite him into the process and ask him to heal you. Many years ago, I sat with a young woman who had been given a notice by the doctors that she just had a few weeks to live. In that meeting, we were talking about the funeral, literally. We were planning her funeral. At the end of that time together, I simply said to her, you know, have you ever asked God to heal you? She looked at me a little confused, and I said, seriously, have you ever asked Jesus to heal you of this fatal illness? And she said, no, she had not. In that moment, I strongly encouraged her and said, it's okay to ask Jesus to heal you, even of things that doctors say can't be healed. The doctors say can't be cured. You get to ask God. You get to go to Jesus and ask him to heal you. In that moment, we took some time to forget about the funeral. Just to ask God, God, would you heal this illness? Many, many, many years have passed since that time, and there is no longer evidence of disease in her body. The point is this: have you asked? Have you asked Jesus to heal you? And if you have you kept asking? Have you kept asking? I've learned in life that one of the most complicated things to do is to be spiritually on top of your game every single day. It's hard just to keep the pedal on the gas all the way down because there's so many things distracting you, and sometimes you just forget. So I'm going to ask you, if you need healing today, is your heart broken and in need of healing today? Is your relationship with your spouse broken? Is your relationship with your child broken? Does it need to be healed today? Does your mind have something wrong and you know something's wrong and you just need Jesus to heal you today? Is your physical body in need of healing today? Do you need a touch from God? Do you need Jesus to show up in your life and heal you in any of these areas? If you need Jesus to heal you today, I'm going to ask you to not wait. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith today. Maybe this is a big deal for you. Why don't you ask Jesus today to heal you? You don't need to wait. Some of you just need to get out of your seat right now. You need to come up to the altar. You just need to take several minutes and just talk to God. Say, God, I need you to heal me. Jesus, you know my need. Jesus, heal today. Heal me today. Maybe it's your mind. Maybe it's your body. Maybe it's your spirit. Maybe it's your relationships. Whatever it is, invite Jesus to heal you today. Come on up right now. God, we recognize that you have sent your word and healed our disease. Today, we recognize Jesus is the word. Jesus is healer. And we can bring our every need to Jesus. disease of our mind, of our soul, of our body. We can bring it to you because, Jesus, you are our healer. So we do that today. And would you help us to bring these things to you every single day? To wrestle with this tension between this broken world that we live in and this amazing and miraculous Jesus that you are. And help us to lean into you, to trust you, to follow you. As we learn and as we grow in this understanding that you, Jesus, are our healer. In Jesus' name we pray.